superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
There, boy. Oh. It's incomplete, but a flag!
Heard nationwide.
McVay going ballistic.
Televised.
Sam Darnold as the quarterback throws left side. It's picked off by the coach.
Online at richeisenshow.com.
History to make it.
Russell looks. Set. Has time. Going to throw to the end zone. DK! He makes the catch! Touchdown! Seahawks!
The Rich Eisen Show.
Boom, baby!
Earlier on the show, from NBC Sports, Peter King, still to come, Pro Football Hall of Famer Michael Irvin, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Hour number one, it was just a whole bunch of football talk, and hour number two, I imagine it'll be a lot of the same as Chris Brockman showed up with his latest interpretation of what Cam Newton wears in celebration of another New England victory. He swore before the season that you will come, Chris, dressed as Cam Newton after every Patriot win.
I'm going to do my best.
I hope you have 11 more different outfits because that's how many more wins might be coming. You might have a 13 or 12 win season.
I'm going.
There you go. There's a separated. Who wore it better? Who
Brockman.
Wore it better?
I'm giving Brock. He's killing
us. We're
going to
go Us Magazine. Who wore it better? I'm going to go Cam
Brockman
Newton.
As the leprechaun.
Mine is probably 1/15th, 1/20th the price.
Whoa,
but
I think you're.
My bet. Well, you don't know what I spent.
Well, the New York Times got your taxes, Chris. I hate to break it to you.
So we know exactly how much.
Look at Cam's water bottle and cigar cost more than your outfit.
Yeah, that Yeti.
Look at that water bottle.
I mean, that thing. I want one of that. I want that.
I'm dying to know what Cam's smoking there. Cubano? I think get those imported?
That's phenomenal. I mean, Cam Newton is just a revelation of the 2020 season. Revelation.
Could have been yours, Chicago.
That's what I said in hour one. It was my take on, you turn the page on Trubisky. Good luck with Foles. It's already worked out for you. But if you're going to pull the plug on Trubisky, don't you want the best possible option that was sitting out there? And to me, that's a 31-year-old Cam Newton with a big fat chip on his shoulder looking for that $100 million contract that he's playing like he deserves. Oh, yeah. And next stop for New England is a visit to Kansas City, and that's going to be all in.
Cannot wait.
Regardless of what happens tonight, and certainly if the Ravens win tonight, I'll break that game down for you later on. Michael Irvin will join us. He's got a podcast, don't you know?
Hey.
Mike has a podcast.
He does.
Podcast.
I think I inspired him.
He did, really. Rich.
His first guest is Stephen A. Smith, who tweeted into NFL Game Day Morning yesterday. Because Michael Irvin, and this is, I think this might be some of the material that you will get on the Michael Irvin podcast. He said that prior to the Cowboys losing in Seattle, that it looked like the Cowboys had, you know, this is one of those moments that they would be able to use the rest of the year, that big comeback win. And, you know, had they won yesterday, his narrative would be, well, they believe because look what they did against Atlanta, that there's no lead that right. You have that is safe, and not knowing that Russell Wilson would have the cherry on top that Matt Ryan didn't have, and that the Atlanta Falcons are giving away leads like Oprah gives away cars. Look under your seat. You have a 20-point comeback.
How about them Cowboys?
So Stephen A. Smith heard Michael say that win over the Falcons was not only going to be inspiring, but also kept Mike McCarthy undefeated in Dallas. Because, you know, he never lost there with the Packers. So this was his take. Stephen A. Smith tweeted in saying, which, you know, it's big because he's watching us, not what's on his own network. And he just called Michael out. It was phenomenal. Just phenomenal. So I'm sitting at home this weekend.
Okay.
And, you know, I got that 2 hour game day morning Zoom, and then I'm writing the show for Sunday because I do all my own writing. By the way, what was that? What would you call that? It's not a humble brag.
Well, you're fishing. Yeah. You're fishing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you want me to say good job? I mean,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Good job.
No, you didn't mean that.
No.
Come on, seriously.
Well, I mean, I only watched the third hour.
Okay.
The fourth hour. So, I mean, you did a great job in the fourth hour.
I know Stephen A. watched the first.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I'm sitting at home and I'm seeing Twitter talk about how Texas Longhorns football is back. And then I'm seeing Texas Longhorns football is not back. And then I'm seeing Texas Longhorns football and the entire Big 12 as a conference is a dumpster fire because Kansas State came back on Oklahoma and Texas Tech and Texas are putting up points on each other, but Texas can't match point for point. And then Texas comes up with a huge comeback. And I'm just like, okay, now I just got to put everything down and I got to tune in. And as I turn on that game on Fox, I thought to myself, no question, it's a Gus Johnson game. It's got to be Gus. The way that this is going, the way that the score is going, and Texas is going in for the tie. Now it's our buddy Timmy B, Tim Brando,
who's
calling. And Texas Tech decides to, after having the game tied on them, with 9 seconds to go, coming up on fourth down, decides to call timeout with 9 seconds left as opposed to wait 5 more seconds and put a ball up in the air for a little Hail Mary. Maybe you get yourself a defensive penalty. You can kick a field goal and win. But they called timeout too fast. Too many points on the board, too many seconds on the clock, because you can't run around for 5 seconds and then throw the Hail Mary. It's too much of a risk. They punted. Overtime hits. I hate college football overtime. Hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it. It removes the kicking game, not completely out, because obviously sometimes field goals are necessary, but it does eventually remove the kicking game out because it forces everybody to go for two if it keeps on going on. Put the ball on the 25. It's like putting a runner on second base to start extra innings.
Terrible.
I hate it. I hate it. But Texas scores and Texas Tech doesn't. Although it was a reversal of what appeared to be the last play of the game. It wasn't a fumble. It was actually an incomplete pass. It just went to the last drop, and I thought to myself, the Big 12 best not twitch in any direction, that the Big 10 has not played enough games, and thus whoever goes through, hopefully, a 7+1 Big 10 season does not deserve a seat at the college football table for the playoffs. Don't twitch in that direction after what I just saw.
I want to know how there are 3 Big Ten teams in the AP Top 25.
That is ridiculous.
They haven't played any games.
This is not going to be a normal season at all. You know, in the fact that Notre Dame was supposed to play, they had their game postponed because of COVID.
Right.
Houston's had 5 games postponed due to COVID. LSU gave up 600 passing yards to. By the way, congrats to Mike Leach. Knows how to make an entrance, whether it's coming off whether it's coming off of a private jet with a cowbell or an actual entrance into the SEC. I mean, this kid, KJ Costello, what a great story he is, the transfer from Stanford. Coming back from injury, throwing 600 yards.
I wonder if he
in
gave
LSU.
KJ the same speech he gave Gardner Minshew. Hey, want to lead the nation in passing?
Yes, right.
Come play for me.
He probably did, by the way. He probably did. That's what Mike Leach said he told Gardner Minshew when he was kicking around.
Gardner was going to go to Alabama to be a GA, right?
He said, well, you can either hold a clipboard or you can come here and lead the nation in passing. What do you want to do?
Worked out.
Mike Leach knows how to coach offense, I'll tell you that. So, you know, It was very entertaining seeing SEC football. And college football felt great. It was great. And just let's hope that everybody's vectors crossing leads to no more COVID tests. And everybody goes back to their dorms or whatever they do. Just sit tight.
I think we'll find out in a few
days.
It's
tough to tell college kids, certainly big men on campus, don't be a big man anywhere on campus and stay home.
Yeah.
And then the NBA Finals are set. First things first, LeBron James decides in Game 4 that it's winning time and marks Jamal Murray and prevents him from scoring from the field. And then in Game 5 decides it's winning time and puts up, what was it, 9 straight points? He was amazing. He was LeBron James, King James. He was the guy. And then the shot of him sitting on the floor with his shoes off and his sandals or whatever he's got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the confetti.
And all the confetti, and he's just staring into space like this means nothing.
Why are we having confetti if there's nothing there?
Come on, you got to make it feel like they're...
Yeah. Congrats to the Lakers, man. Yeah. They did it.
Yeah.
They did it, and they did it in the bubble. And they knocked off, you know... I know they never got to face the Clippers, but the Clippers get knocked off by a hot Nuggets team who... almost won Game 2, did win Game 3, and then LeBron took care of business from there on out. But they take on a Heat team that is really complete and just has all the makings of last year's Raptors. And last year's Raptors, we all know, had Kawhi. Is Jimmy Butler that version? But they are deep. They're deeper than the Lakers. They're deeper than the Lakers. Because it's LeBron. You know, LeBron and AD will take it over. Who has been able to just dominate the game as a role player for the Lakers in the same way that any one of the so-called role players for the Heat have done? Right? Tyler Hero just doesn't miss. Dragic could take it over. Bam Adebayo could make the plays that you need. And then there's Jimmy Butler. And then, of course, you know, for me... when the Super Bowl hits, it's all about storylines until you can actually start playing games. And the fact that Pat Riley, the original Showtime coach, I guess maybe Paul Westhead was, but
until Magic got him fired.
Right, pretty much, right? But Pat Riley, the original Showtime coach who leaves there to go to the Knicks only to have the Knicks screw it up by letting him walk to the Heat, where he gets LeBron to come from Cleveland, win there, loses him, rebuilds with the same coach, only to have this team show up to prevent LeBron from winning elsewhere, where he went to Los Angeles to lead the Lakers in a new way, to have this team put together by Riley and the coach that LeBron won with in Miami, to have Spoelstra do it with a totally different team. This means a lot to win, to say we can win without LeBron. We can make ourselves without the super team, and we can win with the same coach, and the person who's standing in their way from reaching the pinnacle of that is LeBron in a new spot with the Lakers and Anthony Davis and Frank Vogel, who we all know has got the same, who's hearing the same things that Spoelstra heard. Like, well, all you got to do is roll the basketballs out. It's a fascinating matchup. I'm looking forward to it. It starts Wednesday. Looking forward to it. Sorry about your Celtics, but weren't the better team. They were not the better team.
To
come up with the big shots and big plays consistently enough.
They weren't the better team in the fourth quarter, which is, you know, when it's winning time, and they, you know, it's okay. I still really like this team. I don't think anything should change. They still need to go out and get, you know, a big guy, a rim protector, like I've been saying for the last 2 weeks. But Gordon Hayward is going to opt in. He's owed $34 million. He's going to opt in. So I think this team proved it's good enough to compete and good enough to go to the finals. They, you know, just need to get a little tougher and a little more consistent and a little more cutthroat in the fourth quarter. And I think that just comes with experience. I mean, their three best players are all under 24 years old.
Oh, they've got nothing but upside. Nothing but
The future's bright. I'm fine. I mean, it stinks, obviously. I mean, I don't care for either team in the finals, so as a fan. But We'll see.
I will say this, though, and we'll hit it again. We'll hit it again. I don't want to hear an asterisk. I don't want to hear about any asterisk. This couldn't have been easy.
No, definitely the bubble, not.
Living in a bubble for this long.
Definitely couldn't have been easy.
No way. No way.
This is a
full-on, non-asterisk, raise the banner with the same amount of pride as you would raise any other banner any other time. These two teams deserve the kudos to get where they are. I don't want to hear that the Lakers took on a team.
Well, they didn't face the best team in the, you know.
But they weren't the best team. They weren't the best team in the conference. They weren't. The Clippers weren't.
They Clippers were the betting favorite. Them doesn't and the matter Lakers what the favorites the whole year.
To use the phrase that Oscar Madison once told Felix Unger, when Felix was betting on horses for the first time, and it didn't go well. Oscar Madison looked at Felix Unger and said, "That's why they call it gambling."
That's so true.
Don't tell me about the preseason odds and these odds on favorites. That's why they call it gambling. You're gambling. They weren't the best team. When it all came out in the wash, the Clippers weren't the best team. The two best teams are in the finals because they made it there. And you can move your head around, oh, Celtics were a better team, just not in the fourth quarter.
Well,
the Falcons have petitioned the league to have games shortened to 50 minutes. I don't think that will pass muster from the competition committee. NFL games are 60 minutes long. NBA games do not end after three quarters.
The LeBron stands on Twitter make it really tough to kind of enjoy what he's doing.
Yeah, I agree.
So, it's hard.
And the LeBron haters on Twitter make it hard to enjoy we're watching too.
Well, I don't know who's worse.
Thank you.
His fans or the haters?
Yeah. The haters.
The haters are always worse.
I don't know.
Right?
It's pretty close.
Here's what
it's
you
even.
Should do. Do me a favor, okay? I loved that photograph of LeBron sitting down on the floor just in his socks, confetti all around him, championship, Western Conference championship hat and shirt that I'm sure he was mandated to wear, sitting on the floor, staring into space, miserable. I love that shot. It's the same way that, you know, when Belichick would get the Hunt trophy and he would hand it off to Jonathan Kraft. Like, here, put this on the hood of your car. I don't want this. Phil Jackson, right? He never touched a Western Conference championship trophy, right?
They don't do it in hockey.
Or Eastern Conference, right? I love moments like that, okay? Because it means the journey's not over. Like, how many times did the Colts get crap for hanging AFC South championship banners, right? Like, I love moments like this not over. I put the photograph of LeBron on my Instagram, went to sleep, woke up the next morning for game day morning, Look at the comments and you tell me who's worse, the LeBron stans or the trolls and haters. Oh my gosh. I looked one through another. I was stunned. I really was. And LeBron would probably be like, welcome to my world.
A lot of people don't like
his world's great. World's amazing.
But that's what the haters, they love that.
Let's take a break here. Phone calls. We also have still to come on this show. Overreaction Monday. But when we come back, news out of Chicago. Matt Nagy has made a decision as to who's his starting quarterback moving forward. Shop local with Visa to help support your community because where you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. Bet online to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Back on Peacock, look at your NFC East standings. Look at that. By the way,
that is
until Chase Young got hurt and Dwayne Haskins started throwing interceptions, I thought my unluckiest lock prediction that the Washington football team would win in Cleveland and would also be leading the NFC East.
Football team, number one, NFC East.
It's so weird going to the guide on DirecTV and seeing
football team versus
Browns. That's what it says on the guide.
Is that what football team versus
Browns? Football team versus Browns.
That's what they are. They went from WTF to WFT.
Look at that. Ooh.
Look at those standings.
First place.
They used to be the division, too. That used to be the division.
Eagles.
That division.
The Eagles are snatching.
Garbage.
They're snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. And they're still only a half game out of
still
first
alive.
Place.
Still alive.
They've taken 2.5 shots. And they're still alive.
Oh, we got breaking kicker news, Rich.
Ooh. Another kicker news. So what do you want to do? Do you want to take phone calls and then a little bit of overreaction Monday?
Yeah, so
let's get to the Chicago news.
Let's come
news.
Back and hit the Bears news. Right. Then we'll take phone calls, and then we'll hit overreaction.
Very good. Okay. See, Peacock, we just show you how the sausage gets made.
Why is it always sausage?
Welcome back on our quadcast. Welcome back to our audience on NBCSN as well as our terrestrial radio network. That's the shot of LeBron I'm talking about. He's just staring into space, kind of like that 1,000-yard stare. He's got Kobe's number on a splint on his left hand. Okay. And
he also looks exhausted.
He does. Well, I mean, again,
you know what I mean, these guys got to be so tired.
I mean, they're playing a ton of games and
so tired.
But kudos to them. It just means so. I cannot imagine how weird it must be to be going through what they're going through, and they play like it's no tomorrow. And I feel it sitting on my couch. Same thing to these NFL players.
Yeah.
We're watching, the Stanley Cup Final on NBC. Double overtime win for Dallas to keep alive in that series.
It seems like all of these hockey games have been going to overtime.
Is there anything more exciting than overtime hockey with the Stanley Cup on the line?
And with Doc Emrick on the call?
It's amazing.
It's just amazing.
Rush of the puck.
Yep.
You
with
think
Doc Emrick with the goal.
The
okay.
One.
Every rush of the puck.
100%.
It's amazing.
Game 6 is tonight at 8 Eastern on NBC. As Tampa, I mean, look, Tampa can win the Cup. They're number one in the American League seedings for the Major League Baseball playoffs. Tampa is number one there.
And they got a pretty good
football team. And they got Tampa
Bay. Number one sports town in America.
They got Tampa Bay. I mean, Dick Vitale, he's going to be the lead float of Gasparilla. Right?
I don't know what that is, but that's great.
You don't know what Gasparilla is?
No, that's like...
Gasparilla is the Central Florida Mardi Gras.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The year the Cardinals and the Steelers played in the Super Bowl, for some ungodly reason, they decided to keep Gasparilla the same week.
It was nuts.
Show up to a Super Bowl town, it's the Sunday or the Saturday before the game.
Right.
Like, a week before.
A week out.
And the town is totally sleepy, and that's one of the things I enjoy the most about my fortunate position is you watch the build up of the town.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, okay, you get to experience the city like it normally would be, and then you watch it transform into the Super Bowl city.
Builds up.
But I got off of the I-4, I think it was that, and I couldn't get to my hotel because there are too many people in the streets drinking like pirates, dressed like pirates and drinking like open containers.
It's
and I'm
great.
Like, what the hell is happening? And they're like, it's Gasparilla. And I'm like, well, who the hell decided to make Gasparilla the same week as the Super Bowl? There were taillights all the way from downtown to Ybor City. It was insane. That's Gasparilla, man.
Sounds great.
It wasn't for the Super Bowl week, I'll tell you that. It's just...
Well, get ready and... 4 months.
Well, I don't think they're going to have gas. Well, first of all.
Yeah, Gasparilla, I mean.
I don't know how COVID and Gasparilla connect, but I imagine they're going to separate the two from now on in Tampa.
Let me take a look.
Okay. Now then, what did I say in hour one, Chris? What did I say in hour one about the choice that Matt Nagy had?
Oh, I mean, he's got no choice. He's got to go.
It's over.
Foles.
It's over. Once you pull the plug and you, what did I say? Once you uncork the Foles genie from the quarterback.
Uncorked Foles genie. I wrote that down. That's a good fantasy
name. Once you uncork the Foles genie
the bottle.
From the quarterback controversy bottle, you now get three wishes. And they cannot be used, apparently, to make someone fall in love with you. That's what I saw in Aladdin. It's the same situation in the NFL. Your three wishes may not be used. It could be to turn Foles into a prince.
Could be.
While we're continuing all this analogy between Aladdin and the Chicago quarterback situation. Do we have sound? Is there a soundbite for this? Or this has just been announced?
No,
there it
just
is.
Announced.
Okay, there you go.
Announced.
Matt Nagy just announced. There you go.
Schefter had it in the Bears.
Foles v. Rivers, then Foles v. Brady. First two out of the chute.
Let's go.
In a span of 5 days, both in Chicago, Soldier Field, which is where Foles prior to yesterday, well, it wasn't even yesterday. That, by the way, that win goes on Trubisky's credit.
It does.
Okay. And that the last Nick Foles victory for him as a quarterback was in Soldier Field for the double doink game that knocked and one and done Trubisky and Matt Nagy in the playoffs 2 years ago. Last time. So he returns to the scene of his last victory, and there you have it. V. Rivers, V. Brady, right out of the chute. Here we go.
Love it. And for the record, the Gasparilla Pirate Festival of 2021 is Saturday, January 30th, the week before. Super Bowl 55 is Sunday, February 7th in Tampa.
So Nick Foles will start Sunday versus Indianapolis. Matt Nagy announced. And Gasparilla has been announced.
Yeah, Gasparilla is the week before the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
So we could actually be showing up.
So
during Gasparilla.
During Gasparilla.
Oh, my word. What is the matter with you people? Get Dick Vitale on the horn.
Chris is looking for a pirate outfit right now.
Okay. Matt in Oklahoma also tweeted at Game Day Morning. I gave you a shout-out, Matt.
How you doing, Rich?
Good to see you, bud.
I know I'm happy, but is the Hobo Leprechaun going to keep putting his Patriots above my Bills in his power rankings,
the
or is he going to get a reality check?
Hobo Leprechaun.
You're referring to.
Hey, Rich.
Yes, sir.
I need a favor. Here, somebody wants to ID. He's been bugging me. Say,
okay.
Say hi, Rich Eisen.
I love it.
My son's been bugging me for an hour, saying Rich looks sad. I need to say hi to him. So he
no,
said so, hi to
I was about to say, since when has Josh Allen lived with you?
Yeah, well, maybe he's a big kid, hopefully. Hopefully.
He's the real deal. He's a grown-ass man, sir.
It made me nervous yesterday, but I'm telling you what. I've been firing all cylinders, tweeting everybody, talking to everybody. I haven't had much voice left yesterday. I'm telling you what. I love Josh Allen, man. He's crazy. He'll make you crazy. He'll make you nervous, but there you go,
oh,
man.
Oh, but he's a grown-ass man, and he's...
You see that face mask he did yesterday? I've never seen that on a quarterback before.
Yeah, he got called 15 yards for face masking the guy who was trying to put him down on the ground. He's very difficult.
I thought Aaron Donald was going to kill him, though. I'm telling you, Aaron Donald's a freak of nature. I thought Aaron Donald was going
to
kill him.
Well, Matt, thanks for the call. Thanks for the tweet. Best to your family, and your Bills are 3-0, and your quarterback, unlike the one in New York City for the Jets... is the real deal, and they have been rewarded for choosing him and surrounding him with the right people and going out and get Stephon Diggs, who has been terrific, and maybe the Bills, the worm has finally turned for them too, because they got a huge break at the end of the game. The Bills blew a huge lead at home. The Rams looked terrific in coming back. As bad as the Rams looked in the first and second quarter, they looked amazing in the second half. They even took the lead, and they looked to get off the field on fourth down, and a flag came in late, and that was a ticky-tack call. I did not like it at all.
Terrible.
But you got to play better than the ref's ref. Don't put yourself in a position. Don't fall down 21-3. I mean, that's basically the way it works.
It was 28-3.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, don't fall down all that. And thus, you don't put yourself in a position of needing to avoid a referee flag, an official flag. But the Bills are a real deal, man.
Hey, Bills are nice.
No doubt about that. Let's go to... He's not first in line, but I got to go there. Michael in Philadelphia. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up,
hey,
Michael?
Hey, Rich, how are you?
How are you, Michael?
That game yesterday, first of all, I'm watching Foles take Chicago back, and I never liked Wentz because he has this wind up from the ground up. He looks like a pitcher. But anyhow, I've been sober 22 years, and my parents died, God rest their soul. My dog died. I never thought about drinking through any of that. And yesterday was the first time that I had a fleeting moment. Like, if Nick Foles would have been on the team, he would have went up to Coach Peters and told him, put me in. Let me win this thing. Wentz doesn't do that. I don't think the locker room likes him.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I know that there was like a Philadelphia Magazine article that quoted somebody unnamed talking about Wentz is not as well liked in the locker room as believed. I don't know about that, but I'll tell you this.
I'm a Max Kellerman believer. I believe what he's been reporting for a while on Stephen's show.
Well, here's what I'll say to you, Michael. First of all, don't reach for that bottle. That's number one.
It was just a fleeting moment.
Okay, good. But number two, Don, will you help out our friend Michael in Philadelphia, Don Bowie, and put the National Football League Eastern Conference in the National Football Conference standings up? Would you please do that for me? And you pop them up, and you see the Eagles, despite the dreadful start, despite the awful Wentz mechanics that we have seen, just a half game out of first place. That's it.
Out of first place with a coach that doesn't believe in his quarterback.
I don't know. I mean, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. I would disagree. Do you have the soundbite from Doug Peterson today on local WIP radio in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania?
That's a knee-jerk reaction. That's a reaction to, you know, things that the aura that's out there, right? I mean, that's not what we believe internally. And we're going to continue to get better. Carson's our quarterback. We're gonna get it fixed. He's gonna get it fixed. And we got a long season. Listen, we're only a half game out of first place, for goodness sakes. I mean, you know, the whole division right now is not playing very good football. So, you know, we're not that far off.
Now, I'm sure that, you know, Philadelphia fans who are wondering what the hell happened to Carson Wentz, and if he's no longer a viable quarterback, what the hell does that mean with his big, huge contract? And why isn't Jalen Hurts being thrown in there when you're seeing double threat quarterbacks succeed all over the place, and that his manner of being able to run would make the RPOs that much more lethal, one would think, right? Would maybe open up the running game at the very least. All of that angst, Philadelphia fans, perhaps after seeing Joe Burrow come in and almost come up with the win and the team tie the Cincinnati Bengals, I'm sure all of them don't want to put much credence in the coach saying, hey, everybody else sucks in the division. It's not over. That doesn't really mollify anything, but it is the truth. And coaches like Peterson will look at Wentz and look at the contract and look at all of it and say, we're going to have to figure this thing out, and be confident that you will. In the same way any coach figures they could take somebody else's quarterback and turn him in, like, you know, Rumpelstiltskin into gold. Most of these coaches feel that, and I think that's what Doug Peterson feels, that they'll get it straightened out, that the same Wentz that they saw in leading them to the one seed that allowed them to stay at home with Foles in the playoffs once Wentz went out and win the Super Bowl with Foles, that Wentz still exists. I just don't see him on the field. Neither does Kurt Warner, as you heard him say on Friday, that it's been years of mechanical issues for Wentz that are finally coming home to roost. And the problem for them is the whole country's going to be settling in to see them against San Francisco, who we imagine is going to get Garoppolo and Kittle back at the very least, and potentially even Debo Samuel somewhere in October.
Yeah, Debo practiced last
week. So
he's coming back soon.
You know, the MASH unit in San Francisco is getting better, just in time for Philadelphia to show up for the whole country to watch.
Yikes.
Okay. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Are you ready for this week's edition of Overreaction Monday? Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Do you have it all queued up over there, all of your information?
We are ready to rock.
Okay, here we go.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, what do you have over there, Christopher?
All right, first up, let's fire some coaches. Oh. Adam Gase and Dan Quinn are in the race to see who gets fired first.
I would agree. I think, as you know, the owner in Atlanta practice patience last year when they started with just one win in the first half of the season, and his patience was rewarded with better play. But I can't imagine Arthur Blank watching all of these leads blown, isn't blowing his stack somewhere. And as for the Jets, you know, as you know, the Jets owner is currently in the UK as the ambassador. So it's his brother's call, I imagine. I don't know. Is that on the foreign policy agenda for the United States about whether the Jets keep Adam Gase? I doubt it. But as I told you at the end of last hour, the Jets have broken Sam Darnold. Firing a coach, I don't know what that would do. I don't know what that would do, because I imagine they'd turn to Greg 3G Williams and, you know, Freddie Kitchens isn't walking through that door, I imagine. I don't know. I have no idea. I guess Jim Bob Cooter is there. Let him call the plays and let Greg 3G Williams whip everyone else into a frenzy, I guess. That might be better. But we'll see what happens on Thursday Night Football. If Jeff Driskel comes in and lights it up in MetLife and the Jets can't move on the Denver defense, that might be a wrap. So if I had to guess, it might be Gase before Quinn.
Okay. All right. Guys, the Browns are 2-1.
Yes.
Nick Chubb, nearly 100 yards per game, 6 yards per carry. Nick Chubb needs to be talked about among the league's best running backs.
Yeah, you know what would help do that? Is if he goes down to Dallas this coming week and does that in Dallas. You know, right now he's, you know, Cleveland, with the exception of what we saw against Cincinnati on a Thursday night. You know, I don't know how many people were tuning into watching him and the Bengals on Thursday night, but taking on the star and sticking it where the star don't shine and running for 100 plus, you could say they have the best running game in football. You could make that case. Chubb fourth in the league in rushing, and Kareem Hunt, he's been closing games too.
Yes.
So, and that's what the Browns need to do. Do that. Run the ball. Take the pressure off of Baker.
Pressure off Baker.
Play action and find Odell and Jarvis and Austin Hooper. So I would agree with that, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's talk more about Drew Brees, guys. Let's keep this conversation going. Drew Brees has fallen off the cliff.
I'm not going there, man. I'm not going there. The New Orleans Saints, I am not going there. They're at Detroit. They are home for the Chargers. Then they have a bye. Then they're home for Carolina. Those are all winnable games. Michael Thomas is coming back.
All right, here's the stats we talked about last week, okay? He did have 300 yards yesterday, but 64% of the passes were short of the first down markers. 19 of 36 attempts last night didn't clear 5 yards down past the line.
And they still almost won the game. And it's not because that they couldn't go vertical to try and get back in the game. That was the narrative off the Monday night game. They had to get chunk plays. They had to go. They had to go fast. And they had to throw deep, baby. And they didn't do it. And he kept checking it down. So that's the whole concept about what came off the Monday night game. And last night, you could say, what, one quarter of his passing yards came on that bubble screen.
Pretty much one play,
to Kamara. Alvin Kamara. Yeah. I understand. But he's doing what he needs to do. And that zip throw into Emmanuel Sanders did not look like somebody who's on the precipice. I'm not ready to go there. I just won't do it. I'm willing to die on that hill right now. As long as it's not Taysom trying to hand it off.
Nice.
No, you know what I mean? Like, and those plays with Taysom Hill, or didn't they take Kyler Murray out in Arizona for a play that led to, you know, them giving up the football? And it's just like, why overthink things and take your guys off the field? And until those plays work, then you're like, hey, good call. I mean, those are risky calls for coaches. But
all right, this is the next one's for Matt in Oklahoma and the Bills Mafia.
Okay.
The Bills are going to have a home playoff game this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I still think they win this division. I still think they win this division. I still think that they are a better team than New England. I still think their defense is better than New England's. I think it's deeper than New England's. Don't forget that New England had 6 guys option out. So if injuries start hitting New England, it'll be difficult for people to, quote-unquote, do their jobs with the same effect. I still think this is the Bills' division to lose. But Josh Allen versus Cam Newton, I am all the way in on that. I am all the way in on it. And that is going to be a very high-stakes game on the 1st of November in Buffalo, because Tom Brady used to own them. Tom Brady's not there anymore. Can New England continue its succession against Buffalo?
Where do the Bills finish in the AFC? Seed them.
Are they
getting the bye? Are they the one seed?
I think that they're... No, I think the Ravens get that seed, including based off of tonight's action, which we'll get to in hour three.
All right, let's go to Tennessee. They are 3-0, but they are the luckiest 3-0 in the team in the league. Their three wins are by a combined 6 points.
I will not say that. I will not say that they are the luckiest 3-0 team in the league, and the reason why is in the next segment. Wait till you hear, and by the way, I'm teasing this for those who might be watching this later on Twitter and YouTube and on Peacock. Tune in. A lot of the 3-0 teams, you are what you are, and sometimes you are lucky. That is the difference between being 3-0 and 0-3. That is it. That said, the fact that Vrabel stuck with Gostkowski after that awful week one game paid off in week three. He was 6-for-6 in field goals.
Picked the winning field goal each week.
He easily told Gostkowski, we're not sending you out there at the end of this game in Denver. We're going to try and win it. You're finished. We're going to kick. We're going to get other kickers in here, and we're cutting you. You're not even going to make the flight home from Denver. He didn't do that. 6-for-6 against Minnesota. Those are things that come home to roost. I'm not going to say that they are the luckiest 3-0 team in the league. You are what you are. You're sometimes lucky, but you're also lucky due to the residue of design. And that's the case that I saw for the Tennessee Titans.
All right, we're still waiting to hear from Doug Peterson, but it looks like he's going to lean Wentz. But the Eagles need to start Jalen Hurts in week four.
Well, no, that's an overreaction. They're just a half game out. Wentz is absolutely their quarterback because he has to work out. They have signed him to all of that money. You cannot throw Jalen Hurts in there and sink with Wentz sitting there at all the way to 2022. So, I mean, that's it. They have to make it work. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Now, should they put Hurts out there for a couple of package plays? Why not?
Yeah, let's see what he can do, right?
Why not? If Taysom Hill's getting a few snaps, he should. I would totally do that. But.
All right, last one.
Yes, sir.
The New York Football Giants.
Yes.
Should think about tanking for Trevor.
I don't know, man. Daniel Jones just...
He's a turnover machine.
What are you going to do right now? The line, the whole thing stinks. I mean, what are you going to do? But as long as the general manager's there, he's not going to throw the season away. Lose his job, leave someone else to draft Trevor Lawrence. That's not going to happen. Joe Judge is not going to tank either. The Jets should fire their coach and tank. They're already doing it. Or just keep their coach and tank. I think that the coach has nothing to do with it. Just tank. Trade Sam Darnold. Give him what he deserves, which is to fly and be free. Start again with Trevor Lawrence. Get in a new coach. You've got the general manager that's got all of these draft choices already. Go to work.
What if the Giants get the number one pick, though?
Free Sam
Darnold. Just by happenstance.
Then goodbye, Daniel Jones.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. Goodbye, Daniel Jones. Or you sit there and you keep Daniel Jones. You get that huge package for Trevor Lawrence. You watch Daniel Jones stink on ice. And you watch Trevor Lawrence go crush it somewhere in the AFC. No way. Sorry. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. That's Overreaction Monday. We'll take a break. Come back. Wait till you hear about these 3-0 teams in the NFL. More of your phone calls here as well. And injury news, top of hour three before Michael Irvin joins us on a busy Monday.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com, GEICO.com.
The Lightning and the Stars, Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final, 8 Eastern on NBC. Can the Lightning bring the cup to Central Florida in time for the Tampa Bay Rays to kick off the baseball playoffs as the one seed in the first ever expanded playoffs in Major League Baseball, as Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are 2-1, getting set to welcome in the Los Angeles Chargers. It's all about Tampa Bay sports right now, huh? The Blue Jays made it. Indians and Yankees, that's a keep the midge bugs away from that series.
That pitching matchup is...
Athletics and White Sox
crazy.
Are two stout teams. Twins and Astros, everybody. All the haters will be rooting for the Minnesota Twins. Dodgers, Brewers, Padres, Cardinals, Braves, Reds are in the mix. Cubs, Marlins, Donnie Baseball in the playoffs.
Ooh,
that's
yeah.
how we're rolling here. All right, we're back on NBCSN. Look at the wild card matchups for Major League Baseball. Donnie Baseball, the Marlins, as you know, had all those missed games right. back in the beginning of the regular season, quote-unquote. They made it, taking on the Cubs. The Dodgers
awesome.
Are the one seed, taking on the Brewers. Padres, everybody, Padres.
Can we just look ahead to that spicy Dodgers-Padres second-round matchup?
That's entirely possible.
Yeah. Oh, baby.
It's entirely possible. The Astros taking on the Minnesota Twins. I will place this before you, not as a Yankee fan who thought that Aroldis Chapman's smile after giving up that home run to Jose Altuve wasn't anything but, I can't believe he knew that was coming and took me out and took us out with it.
Or how did he hit
okay,
that?
This is nothing yeah. to do with it. This is presented essentially without comment, because you know I do love Alex Bregman, right? Mm-hmm. All right, Don Bowie, put up, these are the numbers for the Astros in the regular season. This year compared to, let's just choose, just out of the hat, 2017.
Okay.
Good year to pick.
No, it's tough. I mean, COVID and
well,
everything going on.
It's a 60-game sample.
Understood. Not a full season. 60-game sample. Pandemic, non-pandemic. But just putting it out there. Oof. Altuve, 219 over a 60-game stretch. When has he ever done that before? Just for instance. Just throwing it out there.
Hey, we're just cherry-picking. I mean, I know.
Are we cherry-picking or are we just saying one season, this is what they hit? And then this season, this is what they had. I'm not cherry picking anything.
You're
I'm
not
just
saying. You're just saying.
Okay. I'm just presenting without comment. Make of it what you will.
Wow. Now I'm yeah, making it's presented as
making,
such.
Making it make of it what you will, and you could say that that is indicative of something. You could say, as somebody whose team hired a coach from the 2017 Astros.
But who was vindicated for everything.
He was vindicated by losing his job.
And he's going to get back in a few months.
You're out of your mind.
You guys, just watch. He is going to be managing the Sox in 2021.
Whatever you're to use Matt from Oklahoma's phrase, whatever your hobo Cam Newton outfit cost you.
I'm just telling you guys.
I'm willing to triple.
I'll
and put
over.
On the table.
There's no way.
That Alex Cora is not the next manager of the Boston Red Sox.
No way.
Okay.
You said, okay.
Just get ready.
Very good. Get ready for what?
To eat crow.
When Alex Cora is introduced, forget all of that. Forget everything. You're back. The fact that you resigned.
Forget what? He got. Just, I'm just telling you.
Okay.
It's happening.
I'm sorry. That's right. They had your own. You had your own deflator who was doing stuff willy-nilly all by himself that perfectly mirrored what the Astros did in 2017.
That's not what happened.
Okay. I'll read up a little bit more on it then.
That's all right. I mean, forget about the Yankees hired Carlos Beltran in 2018.
I'm not saying they didn't do anything.
Oh, you're acting holier than thou.
I'm not. No, I'm no. presenting statistics without comment.
Oh, come on.
Good job, Rich.
Jeez.
I mean.
2020 Astros. We'll see what happens.
Strike.
We will see what happens.
I actually
sort of
hope the Astros win the whole thing.
Your glasses are breaking.
Oh. No, they're coming loose, probably a little.
They are coming loose, a little bit.
They're coming loose.
Yeah, they're breaking.
Oh, Rich.
Mike, did you get those at the dollar store?
I mean.
Did you? I know. Actually, were these glasses acquired in the same place as your Cam outfit?
Get your damn act together.
So let me just quickly say here about 3-0 teams. You mentioned in the Overreaction Monday segment that the Titans are the luckiest 3-0 team in the NFL. You are what you are in the NFL. Now, here are the 3-0 teams in the NFL as we're currently sitting here right now. It'll be either it's going to be the winner of Monday Night Football, Ravens or Chiefs. They're a 3-0 team. Titans are a 3-0 team. And I think this is what you mean by lucky, is that they went to Denver. The Broncos coach admitted he was thinking about what to call on defense.
Right.
As opposed to calling timeouts when he should have, to maybe give his chance to win. And that's how the Titans emerged with a week one win. Then they staved off a furious run by the Jacksonville Jaguars offense that looked totally anemic against the Dolphins a few days later. And then they needed Gostkowski Palooza to beat the Vikings. Okay.
That's
why you're saying they seem lucky. How about this? In terms of quote unquote luck, the Bills blew out the Jets, who are the worst team in the NFL. They then needed, if you will, a little bit of a weather break to get past and come back and beat the Miami Dolphins. All right. And then blew a huge lead at home to the Rams and needed a late flag to bail them out to be 3-0. But you are what you are. Also, you got the Steelers. Blew out the Giants, okay, then got Drew Lock out of the way, or Drew Lock got hurt. I'm not saying that they purposely injured him, but they played a team that lost their quarterback in the middle of a game, got Jeff Driscoll in there in Heinz Field, won that one, and then needed to, you know, get things done against Houston. But the bottom line is the Steelers at 3-0 currently have 0 wins against a team that had any more than 0 wins. They've yet to beat a team that's gotten a win this year.
Right.
As we're sitting here. That's another 3-0 team. Also, the Seahawks blew out Atlanta and then won wild affairs at home against New England and Dallas. They've given up, let me get this point, 86 points in 3 games, and they're still 3-0. The Packers blew out both Minnesota and the Lions, but did battle it out in New Orleans. And then you've got currently, other than the Packers, the only other 3-0 team right now in the NFL, in the NFC, are the Bears. Let's talk about luck. Since at least 1940, the Bears are now 3-144 when trailing by 16 or more points entering the fourth quarter. 2 of those wins have come this year. NFL teams are now 6-646 since the start of 2010 when entering the fourth quarter trailing by 16 or more of those points. The Bears account this year for a third of those wins. Talk about lucky.
Wow.
You are what you are, though. You're 3-0 going into week 4. All of that stuff does not matter. You are what you are. And the Ravens might come out and just put a smackdown on the Kansas City Chiefs, right? After they put a smackdown on the Houston Texans, after they smacked down the Cleveland Browns, and they are easily the best-looking team in the AFC. Same record as the Bears. Same record as the Titans. And it does not matter. You are what you are. I would take just an even infinitesimal amount of that luck and apply it to the Jets right now if I could. Just a little piece. Just wet my beak just a little bit in that luck.
Wet my beak.
Have a quarter.
Okay. Hour number 3, your phone calls. Chris Brockman, I want to know what's going on with Chris Carson.
Yes.
I want to know, is there any Taylor Lewan news? He got carted off yesterday. Can you look that up in the commercial
check.
Break? I'm concerned about my friend. Michael Irvin will join us in hour number 3. It'll be fun to talk with him. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH as well. And we'll look forward to that Monday night game. Big bag of leaves. Brian Griese, Lewis Riddick,
tonight,
Monday Night Football, a gem of a Week 3 finale between the last two MVPs of this league, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. Hour 3 coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Very exciting. Very, very exciting. What's our poll question results that currently stand, Christopher?
Yeah, which winless team is still not out of it? Eagles, Falcons, Texans, Vikings, Texans, 46%. Eagles, 25%.
I figured it would be that way. Texans looked better than they have all year long yesterday.
They were pretty good yesterday, yeah.
But sadly, you are what you are. They're 0-3.
Hey, sports fans. Adam Carolla here. I want to tell you about my new daily sports show, All Balls, All Sports. Join me and my co-host, comedian sports expert Jeff Cesario, 5 days a week as we get into the daily news from the world of sports and gambling. From NFL and NBA game action to off-the-field shenanigans, there's no sports topic too hot for All Balls, All Sports. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and find us at podcast1.com.